Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The library is more than just books, and our series with the Milwaukee Public Library called Books and Beyond showcases just that. We share resources, book recommendations, and some cool stuff you just might not know about yet. Today, we're exploring the Wisconsin Concert Poster Collection. It's a unique showcase of local music history in the early 1980s in and around Milwaukee. Bands like the Violent Femmes were just getting started, plus groups like Couch Flambeau, Einstein's Rice Boys, and so many others. To learn more, I met with Rare Books librarian Timothy Rush, who starts by explaining how these posters were first collected.
The collection started, as a lot of our collections do, with a singular donation. So in 2002, a man named Steve Bertolas-Jeske donated to us this sizable amount of probably around 150, 160 Milwaukee concert posters, also a few that are from scattered outside of Milwaukee, Madison, that area. So we do call it the Wisconsin Concert Poster Collection. But he had a personal collection for years. He had grown up outside of Milwaukee, but his grandparents lived in Milwaukee, and he would come and visit. And when he visited, they lived just south of Brady Street, which was a hopping area for Milwaukee music and all of the venues down there. And so he would just walk up, and then he would just pull down as many concert posters as he could, and he would accumulate that over time. And he loved doing that so much that eventually, you know, he would do it throughout his college age, etc. And so it just collects this very specific time period around the early 80s of all of those bands and those posters and those venues. And so it's this really nice little slice of history.
Absolutely. And the start of the collection, if we want to talk about a specific poster, it's of Dead Kennedys concert in a venue that turns out is now one of the library's branches.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that is beautiful about the history of the venues that you see is like things like that, which is that there is this Dead Kennedys concert that takes place at Top of the Hill at the corner of Mitchell and 9th, which is exactly Mitchell Street Library now. It had previously been a department store, and then once the department store closed, it had basically lay empty for a while and then was transitioned to being a venue for a bunch of different things, including a Dead Kennedys concert. And now, many years later, we ended up getting the money and funding to renovate that space, and now it's the gorgeous Mitchell Street Library.
I love all this, like, little tidbits of unique Milwaukee history, and you, of course, mentioned Brady Street. And Brady Street in the 80s obviously had a lot of venues, but it was also, like, a hub for Milwaukee's counterculture scene, amongst other places on the east side. So how is that reflected in some of the bands featured in this collection here?
Oh, you see all sorts of stuff. Like, the best thing is that these posters vary from really well-produced printed objects that, like, we stole designs from Japan, or we found clip art of a lady from Egypt. But you also get, like, hand-drawn. You get Sharpie written with, you know, skeletons with mohawks and picking their nose and violent acts. The most prominent example is probably the poster we have that is for a councilman's, like, fundraiser effort. And the poster is literally for an event called Rock Against Reaganomics, which features a little caricature of Ronald Reagan sitting at the bottom of a cliff and a bunch of people trying to push a rock off of the cliff. So there is some very marked political commentary in a lot of this, and there's a lot of fun bits of history that are captured as well.
What decade would you say is kind of most prominently featured in this collection?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is the 1980s is by far the most prominently featured. There's some that get scattered in from other periods, but like 80 to 84 is the vast majority of it. When we originally digitized this collection back in like 2016, 2017, under the purview of the then Digitization Library in Liz County, we really dived into trying to figure out information about both when these concerts were and where they were. So a lot of the information we needed to research was figuring out, okay, if we know what day of the week it is and what day it is. Can we figure out what year it took place? And that's actually fairly straightforward. Even trickier was taking the venues, which didn't necessarily say where they were, and figuring out where were any of these venues actually were. While like a lot of them were collected around Brady Street, the venues exhibited in here are from all over. And what ended up being a really invaluable resource to researching the history of Milwaukee venues was actually the Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project. They have a history of all of the gay bars and lesbian bars and et cetera across Milwaukee in that time period. And it turns out they do a great job of listing both what they were when they were those counterculture and specialized bars, but also the other names that those venues had previously and before. And so I really couldn't find where a venue called the Lost Dutchman's Mine was, but it turns out it was also like known as the Unicorn at one point, and that allowed me to figure out and pinpoint exactly where it was, and then I could figure that out. And it was so grateful that somebody else had preserved that history so that we could track it through this.
That's one of the things that I love about just the heart of special collections. Like, one, it's usually based off of someone donating things they've collected, and we can't save history unless someone is doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And you were also showing me some posters before we started recording here, and some are just for fun of made-up bands. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. So what was really fun was when we digitized this, we also had started a Flickr group at that time. It's defunct at this point, where we were trying to get members of the public to share digital images of their collections, because unsurprisingly, most people who collect posters like this don't want to donate them while they're still alive. And so they're like, but maybe I'll share images of it. And we wanted to collate that information. But it also meant that we were getting stories from folks. And we got to find out that, like, sometimes bands would just make up other bands to put on the bills because it made them laugh and it didn't matter, or it would make it sound like there was a bigger bill than it was just Sacred Order. So like one of the posters we have is, you know, Sacred Order, and then it goes with, I can't remember the second band, but the third band is just the Dairy Queens from Hell, which should clue you in that it's not a real band, but it is just really funny on this giant wall of different names. And then you start to go, wait, are all of these bands fake? And there's no, a lot of these bands with their very outrageous names were very real, and a lot of them had a lot of really great music.
And I'm thinking here, it's like, this is just an indication of what marketing looked like pre-internet for bands, right? Because I feel like you go to concerts nowadays and posters aren't really as heavily featured on the merch table, right? So with the kind of zine quality of people making posters as simple or as complicated as they want it to be, what do you feel is the importance of preserving this type of history of especially local music in this unique way?
Oh, so like the other thing is that half of these bands, like I will try to research, and because this is the 80s, they don't have a web presence. You maybe get them mentioned because they showed up in the thumb notes of a Die Kreuzin or a Violent Femmes article. But a lot of these folks don't get their story really told. Interestingly enough, one of the bands that is kind of like almost, I don't want to call it a footnote, but not one of the big Milwaukee bands of the time, is actually the source of one of the donations to the collection. After we had digitized the collection, eventually folks would discover it. And one of those folks was Dan Quass, who had been the lead singer of the Sidewalks back in the 80s. And he donated his personal collection of all of his Sidewalks-related posters. And interestingly enough, he also donated all of the newspapers that had covered his band, which was the first copy of The Express that we actually had in print here. Oh, wow. At the Milwaukee Public Library. A lot of those smaller press newspapers we apparently did not collect actively at the time. We actually were going over this yesterday. We don't have the vast majority of The Crazy Shepherd. We don't have a lot of The Express in paper form. Some of it we have in microfilm, but like to have an actual Express newspaper was so nice. And it's great that we were able to get one via this venue. But yeah, these bands, both in terms of what they were singing about and the types of songs, the genres, like The really fun thing is that this collection is, unsurprisingly, a lot of punk music, but it's also a lot of new age music, which was like the other big music genre that was in Milwaukee at that time. You've got folks like Sigmund Snopek who show up in these posters. And while another fairly unsung hero of Milwaukee music, I mean, just recently, last year, somebody put out a 6.5-hour documentary about him entitled The Complete History of Space-Time Destination Milwaukee. And it was really interesting to discover that because Snopek is one of the few bands that I was able to find and still had like this huge genre and this huge oeuvre of music that he had performed. And it was actually the one band that got me to buy an LP. I was like, oh, wait, this song is great. I'm going to buy this Snopek LP. And sure enough, I tracked one down. And so that's the one like Milwaukee music that from this collection that made me go, I want that for my own collection.
I love that. So as you mentioned, there's kind of two individuals that donated the majority of this collection. It's also available digitally. People can make an appointment, come view it for themselves. Is this also kind of a living, breathing collection? Are you always looking for more?
Oh, absolutely. We happily would accept more donations. So mplarchives@milwaukee.gov, give us an email. We are happy to talk to you and figure out, you know, if you are wanting to donate posters, if you're wanting to donate your actual, like, music, your manuscripts, you know, the books you used to write all your lyrics in. We love to preserve that information for future public and so that people can learn and enjoy and see those bits that maybe didn't make, you know, the encyclopedia, but that's still part of Milwaukee's important history. But yeah, also everything available via appointment. Please, again, that same email, let us know. We take appointments during the week so that you can come in and see this stuff. And we're a public library collection. It's not locked away in a vault. It's here to enrich you, the Milwaukee public.
Timothy Rush is the rare books librarian at the Milwaukee Public Library. We explore the Wisconsin Concert Poster Collection in the Rare Books Room, and you can see photos and find out more information at wuwm.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.